Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like this.
What's going on, Curiosity Builders? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs, makers, artists, podcasters, writers, filmmakers, designers, and coders who are on a mission of bringing their ideas to life by creating new things and getting their work to work. Whether you're just starting out or have been at this creative life for some time, I hope you'll learn something new in this podcast, challenge your assumptions about what is possible, and chase big ideas so you can become who you were born to be. For anyone on a growth trajectory, there will inevitably be moments where you are not qualified for the work that is before you. But those who persevere, surround themselves with people who have been there before, and even have a little fun in the process, succeed. In today's interview episode of Getting Work to Work, I talk with author and entrepreneur Rachel Stewart about her book, Unqualified Success. We touch on the role our mindset plays in success, how fear and failure are an important part of the process, and how the bulk of the work we must do around success is within ourselves. Show notes and links to resources mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/320. You'll also find links to stream the show on the major podcast platforms and an opportunity to sign up for my email newsletter, The Curiosity Lab. Each week, I send out some thoughts on curiosity, along with books, videos, podcasts, and other resources blowing my mind as well. Rachel, welcome to Getting Work to Work. What's one thing people should know about you?
First of all, thank you for having me here. But I would say the biggest thing that people should know about me is that I am a product of family. And family means a lot to me. So I grew up in a large family. In addition to my two sisters, I had six brothers.
Oh my gosh.
So I would say that I learned a lot about persistence and having a little bit of grit and, you know, just work, you know, just a little bit of scrappiness.
Yeah.
And like my current family, I would definitely say that has had such a big impact upon me. I'm the wife of an amazing man who teaches me every day. And I have really beautiful, talented children. And my husband often says to me, I'm pretty sure we're failing at this. And yes, we are failing. But we're really, really like failing forward, really proud of that progress and the success of that.
I haven't met a single parent that thinks that they're just rocking it.
Well, when you find that one, I want to meet them because I had that same experience.
So when you were growing up, were you in the middle? Were you younger? Were you the oldest?
Yeah, so I was 6 of 9 and I was like right after 4 boys.
Oh,
so.
Wow. So the dynamic just had to be crazy.
Yeah. Yes.
So one of the things that we're going to talk about today is your book, Unqualified Success. And one of the things that before we get to that, I just want to talk about success in general. How do people think about success that either sets them up to succeed or prepares them for utter failure?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that people think it's one or the other. And when really success is a lot of failure that happens in the process, in the middle of success. And a lot of times they think that when they hit that first failure, then, oh, that means something's gone wrong. We should give up. We should start over, like take a different course. And when it's really just part of the journey and part of the process and to stick in there in the middle of failure. And over time, that leads to success.
Yeah. Failure is one of those things where culturally, I think we're starting to see more and more people talk about it. But it's also like, I don't know if it's that whole notion of just celebrating failure or getting to failure as fast as possible. But like, I don't think people really like it. Failure makes people uncomfortable.
I totally agree with you. I first think that it's really healthy that we're finally starting to talk about it and it's celebrating it a little bit. And it's easy to do when you're seeing other people's failure and you're like, oh, that's amazing. You're doing great things. Just keep going. But then when it's in the middle of your failure, it feels so personal.
Yeah.
And so reflective of, it means so much more than, hey, this just didn't work. Mm-hmm. It becomes all about who you are as a person and your mm-hmm. character and your...
Well, and it's interesting too, because there's this notion that success should be easy. Is that because we only see the highlights and not the context that failure brings?
Oh, well, I think that's part of it, right? Like, we live in a social media world where, you know, it's all about filters and like how easy it looks. Mm-hmm. But in reality, it's just messy.
Yeah.
Plus, we're humans. So like, we're made to conserve energy, go the easy way, you know, figure out the easy way to something. Mm. And really, it's just a lot of hard work and persistence over time, I find, that produces the most success.
Interesting. One of the things that I would like to talk about is your book, Unqualified Success. What were you seeing in the world that prompted you to write the book?
Well, I think it was this whole thing that we were talking about. I realized that I was having lots of conversations with people and where they were unsatisfied with their life, or they were unsatisfied with the progress they were making towards their dreams. And it basically went something around this. So I'll tell you a little example, and then that kind of illustrates that. So I had a really good friend who works in social work, and she does amazing work. But she was just like, every time we had a conversation, it was how frustrating and how hard and how demanding and all of these things that it is. And I said, what is it that you really, really want to do? Like, what does your dream job look like, you know? And she started describing the, you know, working in schools with teenagers who were struggling with anxiety and depression and bringing awareness around suicide and teen suicide and some of these struggles that teens are facing. In our part of the country, it's a big problem. Mm-hmm. So as I was talking to her, I mean, obviously there's a need. Obviously, she would be so good at it, so talented at it, and would do so much good in the world. And so I said, so why don't you do that? Like, create a curriculum, like, go out there and make it happen. And she's just like, I don't know. I've never written a curriculum. I don't know how to do this. I'm not you, Rachel. Like, thinking like I had some magic answer. And the reality of this, like, we're all unqualified. We all have never done these things that we want to do before. And you dig in and you figure it out and you learn as you go. And you surround yourself with people who are smarter than you, who have done it before, mm-hmm. and you figure out how to make your dreams happen. And so I was just having lots of conversations that were like that. And I found out that people think that there's some magic secret, and there really isn't.
And your friend was looking at you as if you had found the magic secret.
Right. And I've been unqualified for every single job and every single role that I've ever held, whether it's being a wife or a mother or, you know, the general manager of a $20 million company or starting a tech company. Like, I've always been unqualified in the beginning and probably unqualified at the end, some parts of it. Mm-hmm. But it's about getting in and digging in and doing the work anyway.
Interesting. I can understand being unqualified at the beginning, but what do you mean by unqualified at the end? That's fascinating.
Well, I think anybody who is on a trajectory of growth is unqualified for that next step. And so you're always going to be facing a new problem that you aren't qualified to handle at that moment, mm-hmm. or you're going to be wanting something more for yourself or wanting something bigger. And so I think sometimes we think that once we get to a certain place, or like once we've arrived, that you won't feel that way anymore. Mm-hmm. And what I found from talking to a lot of successful people is that that isn't the case, and that we're all unqualified for wherever it is that we're at, unless you become very complacent with who and where you are. And then
I can't speak to the notion of complacency one bit. In fact, I felt a huge just wave of relief wash over me when I read this sentence. Everyone who is on a growth trajectory in their career or in their life is unqualified for that next step. I gotta be honest. It's just like, I look at some of the stuff that I want to do and I'm just like, I'm not qualified for that. And yet, here you are telling me that Well, no one's qualified, so just go for it. Why do we think that in order to be successful that we have to be qualified?
Well, because I think we've never been taught otherwise, or it hasn't been obvious. So when we've looked at people who have success, we think that they're different than us. And even in something that is a very highly qualified field. Mm-hmm. So in my book, I talk about a surgeon, a heart surgeon, and he was very, very qualified and well-respected in his field, but he was also one of the original engineers and thought leaders behind open heart surgery.
Wow.
And when they first started that, it talks about all of the failures that he encountered and all of the ways that he was unqualified to be doing what he was doing. And if he would have stopped, if he would have given up, what would that have meant for so many lives, you know, that we encounter? And so there's just so much that we can do, and we think that maybe that doesn't apply to us. Someone else is more qualified than we are and should be doing the work, when that's not really, really the case in a lot of situations.
Interesting. Would you say that this qualification way of thinking about things is maybe comparison? Like, we're comparing ourselves to where someone else is at. We're like, well, I can't relate to that at all, or I'm not on the same level with them, thereby I can't do it.
Well, I think what we fail to realize is that we're all dealing with the same fears, the same insecurities, and the same self-doubt. And it's just how we deal with that. I would never say that you're just as qualified to the person next to you, because that isn't necessarily the case. Like, somebody has probably had more experience, maybe had more training, you know, they could be smarter, they could be a million different things than you. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is that they are dealing with those same internal challenges that you are faced, and they all started somewhere. So it's all about, are we willing to start where we're at and maybe suck at something for a little while as we progress in our skill set and our knowledge? And I think a lot with creative work, right? It's so easy to have really the idea of what you want to bring to life, and then the reality of what that looks like when you're actually in the middle of it. And there's just that big dissonance, you know. But being willing to be bad at something for a little bit until you get better.
When you're talking about just the creative world and the creative work and how this sense of qualification or even unqualification enters in, a lot of people just aren't willing to suck. They aren't willing to be seen as a beginner, even though we know that the beginner mindset is powerful because it's fueled by curiosity. It's fueled by the ability to accept that you don't know things, accept that other people know more than you do. It's when we start to really become qualified in a sense, you know, where we're just like, hey, you know, I have arrived. I don't have to worry about this anymore. And thereby we lose our effectiveness. We don't succeed.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I think, like, you can get too far on either side of that spectrum. Mm-hmm. And being able to wake up every morning and say, what don't I know? Or what do I think I know that's actually wrong? And there's so many cases of that.
Fear is interesting. I think a lot about fear. Both in the sense of obviously being afraid of something, but just the fear of failure. I think there's so many different fears when it comes to creative work. I think fear of failure is one. Fear of success is another big one. Like, some people, myself included, are just afraid to succeed. And so how should we think about fear of failure, fear of success in order to be successful?
Well, I think the first thing that we have to accept is that it's going to be there. Like, both fear and failure is part of the experience. Mm-hmm. One of my daughters, when she was a baby, she'd love to be down on the ground exploring. Mm-hmm. When we would go to picnics, she would love to be down there, but she hated the feel of the grass. And so then she'd be like uncomfortable and want you to pick her up. But then when you picked her up, she wanted to be back down or something. So I'd like, to me, I compare that to the whole journey. Like, we think that we can go through this without having to experience the grass. Whereas, like, if you're going to be down there, if you're going to be doing the work, you're going to have both fear and failure. And if you just accept that that's part of the experience and, like, embrace it, then I think instead of trying to resist it the whole time, it's going to be way better experience for you and for everyone around you. But then I think we also, like when you were talking about having that fear of success, you know, I think a lot of us sometimes feel like, well, like, who am I that deserves this? And then you get into some of those imposter syndrome type of situations and everything. And that's part of the journey, I think, as well.
I heard recently in an interview, fail fast and learn faster. And I think part of what you're writing about and speaking about with unqualified success is the ability to learn faster than you fail. So how should we approach learning in this journey of going from unqualified to qualified?
Well, I love that statement. I would love to listen to whatever that podcast you were listening to. So you'll have to give that to me after the show, but yeah,
I'll let you know when it's ready.
Okay. Learning is like the fuel of your car or gas in your engine and everything like that. Like it's just so much a part of what is going to be what fuels your success. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I personally think that sometimes you have to be careful. Like, so I am an avid listener of podcasts and books, and like I will absorb information like crazy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can get into this perpetual thing where we spend all of our time learning and not so much of our time doing and implementing what we learn. So that's one of the big things for me is like, okay, if I can take one thing instead of trying to consume everything and then implement it really effectively, then I'm much better off than having learned 25 things and implementing none of them.
Yeah, learning is one of those things where we have learning on demand in so many ways. So like when I went to college, I would have loved to have YouTube where I could, you know, go to a site, enter in the software that I'm trying to learn and get, you know, 5 million videos. And what's interesting is like, there's a difference between going to YouTube, typing something in and going to an expert and saying, this is where I'm weak. I need help right here, as opposed to wasting time on YouTube with really bad videos with your weaknesses.
I think that is also key because there is so much information out there, and it's really trying to hone in on what you think is the valuable information. Mm-hmm. But I also think that that's maybe a testament that there's like a million ways to do things. And you have to maybe figure out what's the right way for you and really hone in on to what works with maybe your learning style, your personality style, and kind of implement that.
One of the questions that is interesting in the information that you sent me about your book, what could we accomplish if we never stop? And I've been thinking about this question since I read it. I'm just like, what could we accomplish if we never stopped? Please enlighten me.
So I'm so glad you asked about this because it's one of my favorite chapters in the book, and it's about persistence. Mm. I'm from Arizona, and so obviously everybody knows the Grand Canyon is one of the big sites in Arizona. But if you go to the Grand Canyon and you go to the visitor center, there's a beautiful picture of the Grand Canyon at dusk. And above the picture is a quote by Enos Mills, and it says, given enough time, nothing is more changeable than rock. Mm. And that really stopped me in my tracks, because really it's amazing what can happen with just persistence over time. And given enough time, you know, if we just continually work towards our goals, if we continually work towards whatever it is that we're trying to achieve, like slowly over time, you'll see what dramatic effects that you'll have and like the beauty that you could create.
Immediately where I went with that was, what if I never stopped working? What could I accomplish? And then I'm like, absolutely nothing, because then you'll burn out. So it's like, I like how you describe the difference between just persistence and workaholism.
Yeah. And I think we can find a balance in all of that. So I think it's about the level of intensity, right? So most people eat 3 times a day. And I've never once said, oh, you know what? I think I'm getting burned out of this. I'm going to just stop for the rest of my life. No.
I'm burnt out on food.
Like there might be one time when I skip a meal, or there might be a couple of days if you're doing some sort of fast for health reasons or something, but that's not something that you take a break for a lifetime, because it's about the intensity level. And again, you could be very intense about that and eat for 24 hours a day or whatever, but, and then you will get burned out. Your body will shut down and your organs will stop and all of those kind of things. But so I think it's just finding what that balance is.
I really like that bit about persistence. And that really connects to your childhood where you had to be persistent with all of the brothers and sisters that you had. How have you gone from being a persistent child to being a persistent adult? What sorts of things did you have to like put yourself into and be persistent with?
Well, I think it's more what you don't have to be persistent with. I mean, you know, adulting is just hard. It just takes a lot of consistent hard work. You know, parenting is hard. That's all about just consistently being persistent, like failing and coming back to the table and going, man, I screwed that up. Let's try again. Mm-hmm. Like, luckily, children are so forgiving and so, you know, that like being able to have that vulnerability and that connection with them really helps that way. But so I think definitely in my parenting, but so much like in my business and my leadership and just learning how to show up every day and just try again and be implementing the skills that you're trying to do on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I think that really ties together well with the creative world is that I think if you are consistently growing your skills and putting them into play, you come out the other end in a year, 2 years, a lot stronger than if you just never used them, dreamed about using them, kept watching what everyone else is doing and complained that nothing was happening for you.
Right. For sure. Again, it's just getting to work. Try it.
Getting work to work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Somebody really should create a podcast about that.
I agree. Yeah, totally. One of the things that was also interesting was thinking about the difference between the process of achievement rather than the outcomes of achievement. And I would honestly say that I'm guilty of obsessing with the outcomes of achievement, whether it's the invoice, whether it's the accolades, whether it's the client logo on the website. Oftentimes those were more valuable to me than just like, how am I becoming a better filmmaker or podcaster or creative or human?
I think that is a totally natural trap that we all fall into. But I think when you step back, the fun really happens in the process. And so when I think about a big major goal or achievement that I've accomplished, like you get that euphoria, you get that rush of chemicals and all that for, you know, maybe it's an hour, maybe it's a couple days, maybe it's even a month, but then that comes back down and you're back to, okay, I need the next thing, you know? Whereas the process and experiencing the fun and the challenge and the next problem to solve or all of those kind of things is where I think we get the most fulfillment and long-term gains.
Yeah. So when you're embracing the world of being an unqualified success, is that a world of fun? Is it a world of living in your fear, but enjoying it? You know, how would you describe the inner world of living in unqualified success?
Well, I think it's like anything else. It's 50-50, right? Like, so it is fun. And it's also really a challenge sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it can be hour to hour and moment to moment and day by day. But I think overall, the general thing is that I would so much be rather living this, like, where you're really getting the meat of life, right? Yeah. And experiencing both the highs and lows that come from that. And I think knowing that the lows are coming helps to even them out and helps you kind of laugh and have a sense of humor about the whole thing as you go along.
Yeah. It's really, I think, about separation of identity and emotion from the things that happen, both good and bad.
Oh, that's so true.
I mean, I can look back at some of the lower moments in the past and I can see how tightly wound my identity was to those moments. Whereas now I would hope that I have grown in the ability to have that separation.
I think that is such a key thing, right? Because again, like I said, it so feels so personal, mm-hmm. and so much of your identity is like, oh, this failed, I must be a failure.
Yeah.
Whereas, nope, it just failed. Like, it could have been timing, it could have been a million different things why it had nothing
yeah.
to do about your worth.
I mean, is it all in our mind? I mean, is success all just a mind game?
Oh, I totally feel like that, right? Because if you're searching for worthiness through success, the problem is that your mind will always move the finish line. You'll hit another level and then you're like, oh, well, yeah, I'm a success at this, but what about this? Or, you know, what about this client that I didn't land and everything? And so it will be a constant moving target that you'll never hit. So I definitely think that there's a lot of us that are seeking for that validation through success, and mm-hmm. we have to be comfortable with ourselves.
Yeah.
No matter where we are in the journey.
Because I really think too, success and failure both affect the world around us. So when things are going well, that impacts the people that are around me well. Whereas when things are going poorly, you know, the people around us feel that. And depending upon the quality of people that you have around you, through your control and through, you know, you can't really control your family, of course, but at the same time, you know, everything that happens to us affects them.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I also think that we have to think, like, I know you mentioned maybe that our success affects them positively, whereas maybe our failure would affect them negatively. And I find that I have gotten so much value in other people's failures and being able to see them be vulnerable maybe in those failures and, you know, talk about the realities of maybe owning a business or the realities of feeling inadequate in some of these different roles that we have. So it doesn't always have to just lead like success and the effect that we can have on people, although we definitely see that too. So
I didn't quite think of it that way. So thank you for kind of shaping the fact that sometimes success can have a negative impact on the world around us if we look at success in a negative way. Interesting.
Whatever we're doing, like if we're just investing in our dreams, that it has such a huge ripple effect. And sometimes we don't even see all of what that could be, but you know, you start working towards something and you start build it and, you know, you need another employee or you need to add staff. And how does that affect them and their ability to show up to something that they're committed to mm-hmm. and what they're bringing to the table? And how does that affect their family and what their opportunities are? Our big team BHAG is to have 100 families that we support through meaningful employment and work, you know, and one of the things that we want them to do is love what they're doing every day and come to, you know, and then what opportunities does that provide in the community and what opportunities does that provide for their families? And so I think no matter where you are, just getting to work doing your dreams has such a big ripple effect.
So when you came up with that BHAG of providing a living for 100 families or providing opportunity for 100 families, how did that scare you? How did that fuel you? How did that really propel you toward where you're at today?
Well, I think at first it was terrifying. Like, how will we ever get there? And yeah. again, like feeling like if I set this goal and we don't make it, like what that means. But it's just been such an incredible experience. And then not only for like those of us who were in the room as we created that, but then all of the employees that have come on since then mm-hmm. and how excited they are about doing that, you know, like and about the work they're doing could possibly provide for somebody else that, you know, anyway, I just think it's been wonderful.
Nice. How close are you to that BHAG?
We, I think, have 54 that we have employed right now. But we feel like there's a lot of ways that you can look at that. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of subcontractors that we hire and who's doing work for us. And so if you wanted to extend that, then we're a couple hundred, but we're on our way.
So you mentioned earlier vulnerability. What is the relationship between vulnerability and working through the discomfort that comes with venturing into new territory?
Discomfort is going to be there. Mm-hmm. There doesn't have to be shame around it, right? And I think that that's the hard part is when we make that discomfort or that failure or the struggle means something about us. Mm-hmm. Then, whereas I think if we can get rid of that shame that's involved with that, then we have the ability to really show up and show up with our teams. And I think there's appropriate sharing, and I think that there's probably inappropriate sharing. But, you know, being saying, hey, I don't know exactly how we're going to solve this problem, but mm-hmm. I have faith in the fact that we can do it as a team. And I believe that the people in this room, so we'll figure it out.
So one of the things that I'm curious about putting the tools of unqualified success into play. So if you are a one-person team, for example, how can they start using some of the tools by themselves to really progress them forward on their growth trajectory?
Well, I think all of this is pretty individual, right? So at the end of each chapter, there's exercises for success, and they're all individual. And so being able to just work on yourself, and then as you grow or whatever, then that's knowledge and skill sets that you can share with your team.
Yeah. So just it starts with yourself, but does it extend into the team as well?
I find that it's applicable in both scenarios, but I think the biggest work has to do with ourselves, to be honest. I mean, that's always really going to be the framework that we're approaching everything else through is where our mindset is.
Mm-hmm. And where does that work start? Is it just becoming self-aware? Is it wondering what our mindset is in terms of growth versus fixed?
Yeah, so I think it starts with your mindset.
Okay.
So I think if you first start looking at what your thoughts are and what feelings those are creating that lead to action and trying to get that sequence right, a lot of times we think that we'll do an action and it will change the way that we feel. Mm. Whereas if we change the thought, then that feeling will produce a different action. And so I definitely think starting there. Like if I quoted my dad, he says the consummate truth of life is that you alter your destiny by altering your thoughts. Mm. So I think if you start with where your mindset is, that's the key.
Yeah. So where does action fit into that sequence? So do you act before your mind is set?
No. So I think it is the thought that's going to fuel your action. So you have to start with the thought. And then that leads into an action that then you can. But I think we're always waiting for a feeling to happen before we act. Like, okay, I'm going to feel qualified and then I'll get going on this work that I'm supposed to do. Or, oh, if I just do this next thing. And we're always kind of procrastinating, waiting for this feeling of feeling ready or being capable. And that's not going to happen. Whereas if we change our thought and says, I'm perfectly capable of facing this challenge and I'm going to get to work and then just dig in and do it, then you'll be able to get the results you want.
So what's the next step on your growth journey? What do you venture to say would be your next area of feeling unqualified, but persevering knowing that you can do it?
Oh, wow. That's such a comprehensive list. And I don't know if your listeners have time.
Well, you can just pick one.
So I'm right smack in the middle of some real growth and stretching for me. We launched a software company that I'm the CEO and founder of. And that's just been such a big learning curve for me, just because I'm not a developer and I'm not even necessarily consider myself especially tech savvy. But I did see a need in our industry, and I really understand the customer, and it was just time for a different solution. So there's a lot of learning that goes around that and learning a totally different field that I've never encountered before. You know, learning how to be the parent of a 16-year-old who's learning to drive, and that's fine. So there's a lot of growth that comes with that. By the way, sweetie, you're a great driver. And I just think, you know, one of the things I'm focused on is stronger and deeper connections with people around me. And that takes a lot of growth.
Yeah. Is it growth in saying yes to people and saying no to other things?
That's so funny that you talk about that, because I'm working on that right now with my coach and changing my mindset about what that means about me by saying no. So that's definitely one of them.
I think that's the hardest word for me to say is no. I'm such a people pleaser in that, you know, it does create challenges when you know that you need to step into something that's uncomfortable, that can push you. And I want to say no, or I have to bring up a conversation that might create some tension or some feelings, and I want to say no. And so I think for me, if I were to take what I'm taking in from this idea of unqualified success, everyone feels that way. We all don't want to say, you know, most people don't want to just dive into this types of conversations. And it's okay to feel those no's, but at the same time, you have to like think, okay, yes, and go.
Right. And this is such a balance to figure out.
Awesome. Well, Rachel, this has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much for taking time, sharing about your book, about your journey, about just the things that you're doing in the world. And the last question that I had for you was, what was the last book or podcast that blew your mind?
So this is a tough one because, like I said, I'm an avid consumer, but I really love How I Built This series by Guy Raz. I don't know if you've listened to that podcast, but the one that I listened to the most recent was the founder of Shopify, and he kind of talked about his journey, and it was just really, maybe it resonated with me because he was talking about technology and some of the obstacles that he encountered, but he actually is a very strong developer and had that skill set going into this, but he really struggled in being able to manage and be CEO of his company. And so I just love things like that because it's just, you know, it again reinforces everything that we've talked about today, is that we're all in this together and we're all in some piece of our journey trying to figure it out as we go. The point is just getting dirty and having a little grit and being uncomfortable and sticking with it.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Rachel. This has been an awesome conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you'll take a few moments today and consider the path before you. Are you pushing into the moments and experiences that elevate how unqualified you are? Or are you playing it safe? I don't know about you, but I'm definitely pushing myself a little more after this interview. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.